Welcome in, everybody. This is the Hog Show. This is our pilot episode. I'm David. I'm here with Ian. And we are coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. What's going on, Ian?
Just trying to work everything out.
Mr. Tech Man over here trying
to
get it all worked out.
Yeah, trying to get everything all worked out. Okay, that didn't work. Go ahead. We're recording on our podcast for later, but right now our streaming info isn't working. I'm gonna work on that. David, go ahead and talk to him about it.
Man, what's going on, people? How are y'all doing today? We're just gonna talk about some Razorback sports for you. Obviously, with the baseball team in the tournament and coming off of our regional win, going to super regionals, we're all excited here. So we're just really looking forward to seeing what happens with this team this year. We're going to get into a little in-depth about our players on the team this year with the MLB draft coming up tonight. And we're going to talk about super regional talk and a little bit of everything for you guys. And what's going on, Ian?
I'm just trying to get to, because it said the link was, or the broadcast info was not correct. All right, now we are live on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. Sorry about that. I don't know what was wrong, the password or something. I don't know. Streaming info was wrong. That's on my part. My bad. But David was just talking about, now that we are live on 12 Ounce Sports Radio, hit us up on Twitter at @RSG_Hog Show, or hit us up at our personal Twitters. You can find that on our actual show Twitter page. I'm not going to go through those. Those get kind of long and lengthy. But
just go through the bio.
This is the Hog Show live from Arkansas, because we are huge Arkansas Razorback fans. This is your unfiltered, don't care what other people think. We don't know the players, the coaches. You're just going to hear it straight from fans' mouth. Me and David don't normally get along. That's why he's the villain. I'm the good guy. And we're going to get into it. The Arkansas Razorbacks had their regional in Fayetteville this weekend. They faced against ORU,
Oral Roberts,
Dallas Baptist, who they played last night in an awesome game.
That was a great game. That was a good baseball game.
Yeah, I was nervous the entire way. In the first five innings, Arkansas allowed the lead-up man on four times. No, all five times.
Yeah.
And then four.
Let's not even forget the fact that Jake Rondle had to come into the game with the bases loaded after 13 pitches into the game.
Yeah, three batters. I don't know, he had to face the fourth batter, and then he went, what, seven innings?
Seven innings.
Wow, that's crazy. To have your reliever come in and go seven innings. Campbell's not bad.
He's just not ready yet.
He just didn't have his stuff last night.
He's just not like Campbell's one of those kids that's going to be a late bloomer, I think, because you can see that the flashes from time to time that he has it. Like, he'll have games where he can go deep into a game and keep us right on everybody's heels, and then he'll have games like he had last night where he'll just implode right off the bat. I mean, that's just what you get with young players. I mean, it is what it is. It's the same thing with what we saw the night before out of Caleb Bolden. I mean, he's just a freshman. So, I mean, yeah, it was bad and all that, but you got to lay off the kids, man. You got to let them grow, because not everybody's going to come in as a freshman and just kick ass in these games. I mean,
yeah, like we always say, I mean, people skew it because these freshmen in basketball come in and produce right away.
And then we have one on our own team named Heston Kerstad that's coming in looking like a minor league player already.
That catch last night. Okay, so earlier in the game, they should have had even the announcer said he jinxed it. He said, can of corn, can of corn, can of corn.
And
well, guess what?
It.
He dropped it.
That's what he said. Can of corn. And he drops the ball.
what was crazy was after he robbed the home run, let me tell this first. He robbed a home run. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
You should see me at work. I'm at work listening to this on the radio. And so I'm walking in the plant, and then that excited, he got it! He robbed the home run! I'm like, what? And so I'm jumping around in a circle, and most people are like, what is he doing? Because obviously I'm the only person that can hear it. And it after in the post game, they were talking to him, and he said, "Well, Jake had my back when I dropped that ball, and so I had to have his back. But I was like, well, you didn't cost a run. You saved a run later, so it's still a plus one." So, yep. And what made it crazier was it's a 3-2 ball game. That gets out to the tie ball game, and we're talking about everything completely differently. But when it was 2-0, I was really, really worried. The way they were hitting, I was like, all it takes is one ball to get out, and we're screwed.
Yeah. It could have been busted wide open in the very first inning. Like, with that bases loaded situation we had with Rondle coming in, that could have easily turned into 5-6 right quick, right off the bat.
Yeah, I was working on getting my radio to work out there, and I see the update on my phone saying Rondle's coming in with the bases loaded. I was like, oh, Lord, this is going to get ugly real fast.
Now, see, when he started struggling, and I thought when they said that they were sending people to the bullpen, I thought for sure that that was going to be not Rondle, but our longer reliever that the guy that's been pitching all year long. Crap, I'm drawing a blank.
It's all right. I can't even think of the name either. I mean, but anyways, that's not too important.
Barrett Loschke, that's who I was thinking of.
There you go.
Whenever we started struggling and they had to get a new guy in there, I thought for sure Barrett Loschke was going to be the guy that was going to come in that game and just shut it down, because that's what he's done all year long. I mean, that's what he's done all year long. He's been our Iron Man, because he's always pitching games that are at least 4-plus innings, like 3-4-plus innings every time.
I mean, going 7 innings and only giving him, 5 hits?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. And he was like, I didn't have my best stuff. You balled.
You did yours.
I mean, the first 3 innings he gave up, 3 or 4 innings he gave up, 3 or 4 hits. And then after that, it was just shutout baseball.
Just fire-breathing dragon, Matt Cronin. That game.
I knew he came in.
When Cronin came in, it was over. It was over.
It's a wrap. It was nice to get that 4th run, though. That made me breathe a little easier.
And then I was watching Twitter and everything through all this, and apparently one of Dallas Baptist fans got thrown out the game or got carried off by police or something. I don't know what happened there.
From what I heard on the radio, they were being very, not negative, but were talking a bunch of crap to Arkansas fans.
You just don't do that at our house.
I mean, you can't expect to get away with that, talking crap in Baum Stadium to Arkansas fans. It's just not going to happen. Now, do some Arkansas fans get a little rowdy? Absolutely. Who doesn't? But this is our house, and we're not going to let you walk on us like that, man.
There's a reason why we've won 33 games at home.
Absolutely.
Best home field advantage in baseball?
I can agree with that. What's funny
the only one you might could argue is maybe LSU or Texas when they're good.
I mean, when LSU and in the country, when the teams are top 5 teams, we'll put it this way, when they're top 5 products, the top 3, in my opinion, are Arkansas, LSU, and Texas.
Yeah. Because I was watching that game
Give you Florida State.
I was watching that game yesterday with Texas and who was it they were playing yesterday?
Can't remember.
Whoever it was those Shorthorns were playing. That crowd was loud, man.
I have family in Texas, so he's going to give me a hard time about the Longhorns. But it's okay, because Arkansas is my team, my only team.
I think I can speak for all of Hog fans, probably you included. How thankful are we that LSU and their voodoo magic is already out of the tournament round?
I wasn't trying to see them somewhere down the road.
Absolutely not.
I don't know what they had on us this year, but we couldn't do
anything.
It's
not this year. It's every year.
Well,
it's literally
true.
Every year it's something.
But good thing is we don't have to leave the state of Arkansas until we go to Omaha.
Exactly. That's the best part of it all. And I mean, I hate to say that any team is a pushover, but If we're taking on South Carolina or UNC Wilmington, I think I like my chances.
Yeah, we didn't lose a game this weekend. I don't think we'll lose two games next weekend. So I think next week, this time next week, hopefully we're talking about going to Omaha.
Absolutely. And for that matter, this week, though, we can be talking about our prospects that we have with the MLB draft coming up tonight.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little later in the show. Right now, I just want to kind of – did South Carolina go ahead and win today?
I haven't heard. I know they think they play today. I think they started at noon or 1 o'clock or something.
I'm pretty sure I saw yesterday where there is, like, a possibility of SEC teams.
Yeah, the record for SEC, I think I've seen, was six tournament teams in the second round, and then this year we have a potential of having up to eight.
Yeah, and three of them are already in, Arkansas being one of them. And so
I think four of them were already in. Just Florida was in.
No.
Arkansas was in
late yesterday, because last time I saw they had to play today.
Florida was in. We were in. I think Georgia was in. And I'm pretty sure there was one more. I can't remember who, though.
So there's something that I want to do on this
show. Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah. There's something.
Wait, Ole Miss isn't in yet. They still got to beat Tennessee Tech one more game.
No, but what I'm saying, they're able to, like, if they win today.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, anyways.
Yeah, that North Carolina or South Carolina and UNC Wilmington are in the top of the first right now, so they just started.
I ain't trying to play it. Well, they're Eastern time, so it's at 1 o'clock. Yeah. But still, I'm not trying to play a lunchtime baseball game.
That ain't so bad. It's better than playing at like 11 o'clock at night.
I'd rather play at 11 o'clock at night than, well, I don't know. It depends.
Yeah. Depends on the situation.
I'm not trying to play 11 o'clock in the morning. I'll tell you that right now.
No. Absolutely not.
Especially with college kids, ain't nobody trying to play anything before noon.
All right. Yeah, college kids probably don't even want to get up before noon, much less be playing baseball that time of day.
Well, if you're an athlete, you're probably up and at them at 6, 7 o'clock every day, but still, you're not at your best till the afternoon, in my opinion.
Yeah. And so, I'm kind of pulling for, I think you probably are too, with Mississippi State and Oklahoma.
I'm pulling for Mississippi State just because that's where in a personal background, my parents live about an hour away from, not Oxford, that's where Ole Miss
Starkville.
Is. Starkville.
Yeah.
Well, they're dead in the middle between the two, so anytime, as long as Ole Miss and Mississippi State are not playing against Arkansas, I'm probably going to root for them because that keeps people around my parents happy, so that gets
and
me.
And then plus you just love Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Totally love. That's another family thing. Is like, even though half my family is A&M, half my family is Texas, there's a mutual hatred for the Sooners. Like, it's, and one of my closest friends is his family are diehard Sooners, so we all have that back and forth. So that's fun. But yeah, anytime the Sooners lose, I'm a happy camper. That's why I can't watch softball. Because they don't lose very often.
Yeah, that's true. That's like Texas. There's pretty much three teams that can, are my main ones that can lose in any sport, and I'll be absolutely thrilled. And that's Texas, Oklahoma, and LSU. I can't stand any of the three of them in anything.
Well, I understand that, especially LSU in every sport. I don't even care. You can be talking about
them and their disgusting voodoo magic. I don't know. I don't get it.
I feel you there.
Like, this was supposed to be a down year for LSU, and they still made the NCAA tournament. Like, how?
Well, it's baseball, so, I mean, they're going to figure it out. I mean, all you need is a quality starter and some timely hitting, and you can figure your – as a Power 5 school, you can figure your way out into the tournament, in my opinion.
This is true.
So, there's that. We're going to take a quick little break and then come back, do a hog of the week, because I want to do that every week. Kind of pick our all-star of the week. Like, during football season, it might be a little tougher, but right now we're going to do our hog of the week when we come back. We're going to go to break.
Tune in. It's running 11 o'clock Eastern time. It starts. It's going all night. Tune in whenever you get your recap. Everything that happened in the sporting world, it's going to be here. Up late with 12 Ounce Sports Radio.
And I don't even like wrestling, but it's right there. Quench your sports thirst at 120zsportsradio.com. Ah, oh, now that's what I needed.
It's so beautiful. It is the most beautiful oak wood from the seas of North Carolina. I was one time at a Starbucks in northwestern Oregon. It was raining a slight drizzle. The trees were so green, and it was so great. I was watching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He had a sky up there reminding me of the tower in Seattle. It was just so beautiful. Get the fuck out of here, Bill Walton.
If you can see me and David while...
And we are back from break. What is up, everybody?
What's going on? What's going on? Time to do a hog of the week. And Ian's back to having technical difficulties.
No, I just had something playing in the background. I didn't replay. My bad.
Okay.
Hey, we're working on this. I'm not a professional. I'm working on it.
Hog of the week this week. I'm going to go ahead and start it off. I'm going to go with Heston Kerstad because that kid has played like a senior in the biggest point of the year this year. And, I mean, great defense, hitting home runs, driving in runs. I mean, the kid's done just about everything you can do in this first region, in this regional part of the tournament.
And he's only a freshman.
And he's just a freshman
kid,
people. You
got that call?
We've got three more years with this kid.
Two at the most.
He'll go three. Because it's Arkansas. Players don't go high in Arkansas unless they're named Ben Attendee.
I mean, if he's balling like this, I don't think he...
But anyways. I'm going to play y'all the call from that catch tomorrow, from that catch last night. And this is the reason why I have him as my hog of the week, because of plays like this.
2-2, slider ripped deep to left field, and back is Kerstad to the wall. He'll leap, and Kerstad made the catch. Wow! Kerstad with a home run saving grab over the wall. And the Hogs still lead 3-2. Get up out of your chairs, Heston Kerstad.
And that's when I was going completely bonkers.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Ian. Go ahead with yours.
I'm going to go with Jake Rindall because he pitched his ass off. I'm sorry for the language, but I have to use it here. He pitched his butt off last night.
He's a boss.
Like, to come in relief after three batters and to pitch seven innings, give up five hits, and that he had his slider working. It was everywhere. He said he didn't have any command, but it was working.
Hey, can we just also say that honorable mention for this week could be the starting staff in general, outside of Isaiah Campbell, because eight innings from Blaine Knight, eight innings from Casey Murphy, in three games in Fayetteville, we used three relievers in 3 days.
Yeah, and Cronin was fresh because they didn't really have to need
him.
Well, I'm
thinking we used Rondell. We used Matt Cronin.
Who did we use?
Four, because we used Bryce Bonin and we used Caleb Bolden in that second game.
Yeah, but they only pitched an inning.
So we pitched four guys. We pitched four guys out of the bullpen.
And only one of them went more than two innings.
Yeah.
Well,
that's insane.
No, Cronin had to go three, didn't he, last night?
Two. Cronin went two.
Oh, yeah, he went to eighth. That's right. That's right. I was doing
math. He went to eighth and ninth.
He went but two. And the other guys combined for two. Outside of, if you take out Jake, who basically was a starter yesterday.
Yeah.
You only had your bullpen pitch four innings all weekend.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Talk about saving your arms late in the season.
The three best pitch. I mean, the three pitchers that saved our butt this weekend. I mean, now the offense in the first two games was just out of this world. But yeah,
it wouldn't have mattered what they did. Yeah,
Murphy and
Blaine Knight
went for 15 innings combined. That's insane.
That's crazy. That saved us. That saved us for the if we would have had to blow through our bullpen in either one of those first two days, we'd have been in a world of hurt last night.
Yeah, but our offense wasn't there last night, but we got just enough runs out of them.
That's all we need. Well,
I mean, you hit 20 runs in the first two games, you kind of...
That just tells you where this team is. We can win games beating somebody 10-2, or we can beat you in winning games 4-3.
And earlier this year, I was telling, that I was worried about our small ball, but last night we got it done.
I mean, I still worry, but I'm not terrified of it. We can do it. I just don't like having to.
Yeah. Rindle left like 10-plus guys on base,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing.
The best thing for me that I've seen towards the late end of the year, we struggled so horribly bad with the bases loaded all year long, and then right towards the very end of the year, probably the last two weeks, maybe last 3 weeks, we started hitting a little bit with the bases loaded and started coming around. That's when I started feeling a lot better about this team, because if we can hit with runners on, we're going to be tough to beat, because that's been one of the, you know, one of our downfalls all year long, is that we can't drive in runs when we need to drive in runs. And it's been one of those things where either we hit home runs or we get beat. And lately it's not been that way. And I'm glad for that, because, man, if there's one thing I can learn from being a Ranger fan, relying on the home run's not going to win you a lot of games.
Relying on the long ball really can kill you.
That's like the equivalent to relying on a three in the NBA game.
Yeah, like when you're hitting the long ball, it's awesome. It's great. Nobody can beat you. But when you're not, it's end up being a lot of four-run games, and mm-hmm. you got a small ball to play small ball to get out of those.
Yep. But like I said, I can't say enough about what two-thirds of that starting staff did this weekend. I mean, just amazing, amazing job, guys.
Well, the guy that didn't pitch his butt off is actually eligible to get drafted.
He'll be back.
Nah, I just don't. I mean,
Campbell will be. I'm sure he'll probably get picked up around the 20 or 30 or something around today, or today, this weekend. But it's going to be like Blaine last year. Blaine got picked up in like the 23rd round, and he's coming back, and he came back. He's got. Campbell's got no reason to go right now. He has no reason to go. He has potential to get way, way better than he is right now. And, I mean, and you can't speak for everybody's situation, though. I mean, maybe he does go in the 23rd round because maybe it's something with family and he needs that money, you know?
Yeah, you can't tell a player what to do
yeah.
in that situation.
Right, right.
Yeah, let me go ahead and list these. The six draft-eligible Razorbacks that could be drafted today.
Mm-hmm.
This in the Baseball America's top 500 prospects. Isaiah Campbell is 73. Cook. I don't know why I said that. Oh, because I work for Coke Industries and it's spelled the same. he's 128. Biggers is 355. Murphy is 419. And Eric Cole is 433.
Shaddy not on there?
Not in the top 500.
Good grief. Of course Arkansas players get ripped. What I can tell you what's going to happen right now. Guys like Shaddy and guys like...
There's some Arkansas actual natives that aren't at the U of A that are in there.
Eric Cole and Carson Shaddy are going to get ripped just like Tyler Spoon and Joe Serrano did several years back.
Mean, but you got to think about how many players there are in the country.
But you're going to tell me a team that's... top 10 nationally,
but to have
all year long, can't you have players drafted over a high school kid in like the 20 or 30th round?
But that's just in the top 500.
I know, I'm just saying, but I'm just saying in general, though, not even just like early round. I'm just saying in the draft in general, like, there's no way a person can tell me a kid in the 20 or 30th round is more major league ready than a guy that's been a solid contributor for a top 10 team.
No, I agree. I'm just saying 500 is not that. That's only like 12 and a half rounds, and there's 20-something.
Yeah,
so, yeah. Now, could Shaddy get drafted in the late rounds? Absolutely.
I hope so. I was just reading off what was
in the top 500.
Yeah, I'm just griping for the sake of griping because of experiences I've had with Arkansas baseball players in the MLB draft in the past. Because it absolutely bro. I've seen players. I'm not saying that they were guys that should have been drafted high because they shouldn't. I mean, am I going to be personally attached to some of these guys that were on the team? Of course, because I love my Hogs. But if we're being realistic about the situation, there's a lot of guys that I've seen play that deserve to get on an MLB minor league roster, but they didn't get the chance and they got passed over by high school kids. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, no disrespect to high school players at all, because everybody deserves their shot. But you're not going to tell me players that played on a nationally ranked top 10 team all year long and they're three to four year
starters
in the SEC aren't as good as a high school player in the 20 or 30th round. I'm sorry. You're just not.
But when you talk about it, I'm agreeing with you here. Don't take that.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm just saying.
What I'm about to tell you is playing in the SEC, in my opinion, is like playing in single-A ball.
It is. I would say a single-A, maybe double-A, but the bad double-A teams.
Oh, yeah, because – I mean, now, granted, there's probably some pitchers and some shortstops in this league that give them a year and they'll be in the majors.
Oh, definitely. There's talent all up and down the SEC. There is no doubt about that. There's a reason why the most major league players out of a big time conference are going to be coming from the Big 12 and they're going to come from the SEC.
Occasional Pac-12.
And then ACC.
I mean, there's talent everywhere, but the SEC is by far the best, in my opinion, top to bottom, because you saw this year. A lot of teams can win at home, but once they get away from the confines of their home park, it kind of hinders. Let's just tell you the drastic change from having to play in Baum or at LSU or at Florida and then have to go play single-A ball in these trash parks.
Yep.
How much of a... Do you really want to play minor league baseball?
That's true. And I was talking to somebody the other day about it. I was like, it's crazy to me to see how hyped up and wild these home crowds are for college baseball. But then you look at MLB parks, and they're just like quiet. They're just quiet. It's crazy.
Yeah. I wish, honestly, there was a Ranger, our affiliate here in Little Rock was a Rangers affiliate. That would make more sense to me, but they're not. So that's why it's kind of hard for me to get, people are like, oh, what if a Hog goes play for the Travelers? It's like, well, I'm not going to get hyped about it because they're going to leave in a year and they're not going to go play for my major league
team. That's cool. I mean, even as somebody that doesn't root for the Arkansas Travelers because they're team is an associate of one of our rivals in the AL West, since they're with the Mariners. But you know, I understand for other Arkansans, seeing a Razorback in an Arkansas Travelers uniform would be special for a lot of them because they're gonna follow the team. They're not gonna follow because of who they're with and all this and that. They're gonna follow because it's an Arkansas team.
Yeah, that's the only thing that can drive me up the wall about some Razorback fans. I understand you're all about it, but, like, you can't be – I understand you want to try to be, but at the end of the day, you can't be a Razorback, Wolves,
UALR.
I take that back. I rooted for them in the – I can root for them when nobody else, but when it comes down to it, I'm a Razorback fan first, and – the lesser teams like your Bears from UCA
yeah.
are going to be talking crap about the Razorbacks when they're not very good.
Well, it's not even UCA. It's mainly one, and it's little brother Arkansas State. It's always the ones that's talking the loudest. No. Like, you don't hear UALR talking noise. Well, you don't hear UCA talking noise.
The basketball team could talk all the crap in the world.
I'm just saying, but you don't hear it, but you, it's them. It's not them that you hear talking noise.
No, I know. I'm just saying, this is the only state I've ever heard of where it's like, oh, as long as they've got they're in the state of Arkansas, it's whatever. But it's like, I guarantee you, LSU fans aren't rooting for La Tech. Guarantee you.
Right. And that's why I'm like you. I don't get why people are so up in arms about Arkansas having to play Arkansas State and about how it's hurting anything. Please tell me. Please tell me what Arkansas gains from beating Arkansas State.
This is where we disagree.
Like, what does Arkansas gain from beating Arkansas State compared to what Arkansas State gains from if they were to beat Arkansas?
I'm just telling you right now, I would rather, money-wise, I would rather play Arkansas State than go play some other bum from the same conference.
I get that. But here's my thing with that whole conversation.
Who do you think they're more likely to lose to, Arkansas State or a team from out of conference that you're not going to get hyped for?
Arkansas State.
No, because you know it's little brother, and you're like, I cannot lose to little brother. Like,
but they don't consider them a rival. That's the thing about it. They don't consider them a rival. That's the problem. That's why it scares me to play Arkansas State to an extent, because I don't want them to start getting momentum and start feeling like they are a rival to us.
No, but what I'm saying is, you're more likely to be able to get hype for a game against Arkansas State than you are to get hype
for sure.
New Mexico.
I mean,
State.
In theory, yes. But, you know, for me, it's all about recruiting ground for me and what we gained from it. And I just don't see anything gained as an Arkansas on the Arkansas side from playing Arkansas State. I just don't. I just do not understand it.
I agree with you there. The only thing I'm saying
Because you think about Auburn and Alabama back in the day. Auburn wasn't Auburn that we know now.
No.
Auburn became Auburn when Alabama made them a rival every year.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make Arkansas State that. There's a reason why LSU and Tulane, LSU and Louisiana Tech, LSU and Louisiana, well, these directional schools, they play them all the time, but those directional schools are never going to be anything. But it's the ones like Tulane, Louisiana Tech, those two.
And then Louisiana, they play Lafayette every once in a while.
That's right? What I'm saying. The Louisiana Lafayette, Louisiana Monroe, you can throw them out the door. But like Tulane and Louisiana Tech, there's a reason why LSU doesn't play them teams every single year, because they don't want to make them a primary rival and they don't want to have to split recruiting any more in their state than they have to.
So I'm going to ask you this question.
Now, Texas teams can get away with it. Go ahead.
There's a crap ton of them.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of D1. But anyways, what I'm going to say, if you're Bama, would you rather play some D2, D1 AA school and beat the crap out of them and people question your schedule, or play a UAB and beat the crap out of them?
Saban doesn't care. He's going to beat the crap out of everybody he plays anyway.
I know. I'm just saying. What would you
Me, personally, I'm always going to be against trying to help the in-state guys.
I'm not saying help. What are you what's the word I'm trying to use? It, to a national standard, it doesn't look as bad if you're just picking some smojo team.
Yeah.
You pick somebody in-state, it's just like, okay, it's an in-state. You're playing an in-state team.
I mean, I get it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get it. I get the argument. I do. But I'm just, from my own personal view of it, I just don't see it anything. When you're a team like, if you're a team like Alabama, you can pull that off because you're Alabama. You ain't got anything to worry about. But when you're Arkansas, already having to fight and claw for everything that you get in state,
yeah,
you can't afford to have to split recruits with anybody else. Like, it's already bad enough that we lose our top guys 85% of the time, the teams like Auburn and LSU and Alabama and Tennessee already. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, we have enough time, hard enough time already keeping players in state. We don't need to make it worse.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying. But how many of you of our listeners like to go to concerts and sporting events? Because I know I do. Sign up with SeatGeek through 12-Ounce Sports Radio. We got a promo going on right now. Go ahead and go over to the website. That's probably where you're listening right now. Go on down to the page. Find the SeatGeek app and click on it and sign up today.
And I can vouch for that very site because I am a concert goer myself. I use SeatGeek quite often.
Yeah, it's a great little thing. Go ahead and go check it out. Also, if you are a golfer, check out the TeeOff app while you're on the website at teeoff.com through the PGA Tour. And also, we like our comebacks on here, so go check out Rally House.
All right. So where are we thinking these guys? You still have your six Arkansas players pulled up?
Hold up.
I have no idea. I just kind of want to give our listeners a general thought of where to maybe think of where these guys are going
to
go.
I mean,
there's 100 million rounds in baseball, so yeah, you're not going to be able to peg it. But
yeah, I'm not going to try and peg this. I mean, you can't be like, oh, they need this, they need that. But it's like you don't know when in baseball, they're going to pick who they think the best available of who in their on their board.
Because being honest, in baseball, when the drafts are all said and done, you're picking close to 20 to 30 players.
Yeah, and you're going to pick the best available that you scouted.
Right.
Like, if you scouted this player and he's available and that's your number one on your board, you're taking him. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a like, oh, well, on our major league team, we're missing a pitcher. You're not going to pick him because guess what? I mean, it's just not going to happen because it's not like the NBA or NFL where you play right away where you're going to absolutely need that senior or whatever from baseball.
I selfishly hope that our Rangers pick Blaine Knight again. I mean, I know it's rare to find a team pick the same guy twice. I mean, it's happened before, but
who is that pitcher that got drafted by the Astros twice and said no both times?
Mark Appel.
Okay.
The dude, he used to pitch at Stanford. I remember that. He went, Astros picked him once and said, nah, I'm going back to school. Couple years later, Astros picking him, saying, nah, I'm going back for my senior year. It's like, get the hint, Houston. I don't want to go there.
So if they pick him a third time in your senior year, what is your choice there? You got to go, don't you?
Your senior year, you're gone. You're gone.
You
don't have any other options.
Yeah, if you want to play pro baseball, you're just going to take it.
Right. And I would love it, but for both as a Ranger fan, a Razorback fan, and for a Blaine Knight fan, if he could end up in Dallas, because, you know, if he's playing in the Rangers minor league system, he's still going to be close to home. Because, you know, he's from Bryant.
Yeah.
Blaine Knight's from Bryant.
I know.
And then if he...
There's a couple of Fayetteville natives in this regional, too, playing against each other.
Yeah, there was
one from Dallas Baptist, and there was one from Southern Miss, I think.
I think so.
I just remember them talking about it on the radio. I was like, that's cool that three dudes from Fayetteville, one plays for Arkansas, two others don't play for Arkansas, and they're all playing in the same regional in Fayetteville, and they're Fayetteville natives.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, you couldn't write a better story.
Right. But, you know, general thought process, I figure Blaine Knight's going to be gone within the first 10 rounds.
No, way
before. First five rounds, even.
Way before that. I mean, because I don't know his exact number, but I can see that Campbell's a 73, and Knight's higher than that. And 73 on just that is no later than the third round.
Right.
So, Blaine got to be a top two round pick. I think he's a first. I mean, you go 11-0 in the SEC, you've got to be a top two round pick. Period.
And I'm glad you brought that up because believe me when I tell you that Arkansas players do not get the respect that they deserve. How is Blaine Knight the only pitcher in the country to be 12-0 and is on the second team All-American list?
That's crazy. But listen,
that's ridiculous.
Or regular. Let me give you the regular season.
Go for it.
11-0, sub 2.5 ERA, nuts. Where is it? He has 88 strikeouts, 22 walks, and 95 innings and a half pitched. Or not in a third, I'm sorry. And opponent's batting average, .224. That is insane.
It's like the only thing that Blaine ever does wrong is gives up home runs from time to time. Like, that's it. That's it. Like, everything else he does great. I'm sorry, NCAA, you got this one wrong. Badly wrong. You got something else?
Oh, the draft. I was looking for it. The draft for Arkansas natives in Central Time, rounds 1 and 2 are at 6 p.m. tonight. Tuesday, rounds 3 through 10 start at noon. And then Wednesday, rounds 11 through 40 start at 11 a.m. And you can find the first round televised on MLB Network.
Tonight at 7 o'clock.
Eastern Time. It's 6 p.m. Central.
No, it's 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. Because I got it recorded at home. I know. I got it recorded at home.
I'm just telling you what this website's telling me.
I got you.
But, all right, he probably knows a lot more about it than I do.
I'm a draft geek. I love it, man. I live for the draft, even if it is baseball and 100 billion miles long. NFL draft, MLB draft, it don't matter. Our draft on the draft of the draft's draft. I would probably watch it. I'm just that much of a geek about it.
I ain't got time for all that.
You got a life and a wife.
You ain't lying there.
But
I'm gonna take a quick commercial break, and we are gonna come back and talk a little Hogs football, a little recruiting, some things. If you want to get at us. Get at us on Twitter if you want to get on the show.
Woo pig.
All night, tune in whenever you get your recap. Everything that happened in the sporting world, it's going to be here. Up late with 12 Ounce Sports Radio.
And I don't even like wrestling, but it's right there. Quench your sports thirst at 120zsportsradio.com. Ah, now that's what I needed.
And we are back from break. What is up, everybody? Hope you are listening to us on 12OunceSportsRadio.com, and you can also check out our if you missed any part of the show, you can check out our podcast on iTunes.
Also, while you're
watching our site, listening to our page, whatever you're doing, you can also find our main show, not our side project show like tonight, like today, our main show, Rehab Sports Guys, on the same network, 12 Ounce Sports Radio, tomorrow at 11 o'clock Central, 12 o'clock Eastern.
Absolutely. We'll be getting into some, on that talk, we'll be getting into some NBA finals, some NBA storylines, some MLB baseball, all national news you want to catch up on that you can't catch up on your local radio station. But, hey, hit up 12 Ounce. You'll hear some Hog Sports Talks on Mondays and get at us about our national sports news on Tuesdays.
Absolutely. Let's hop into this little recruiting talk from this coming class that we have coming in. We don't have many yet. We're only up to four guys right now with it being so early in the year.
Yeah, I haven't looked into next year's class. I know that people like our current class and Mike Woods are out there recruiting receivers for next year's class. So I'm adding Jackson.
Not to mention our quarterbacks are doing a lot of work too in that. Connor Nolan.
Oh yeah, Connor Nolan. Speaking of Connor Nolan, I can't wait to see him pitch. Like, he was balling this year.
Like, he was the MVP of the state title game in baseball.
He was dealing. I was keeping up with all that. He was dealing and killing and doing all kinds of things on the pitcher's mound. If he can do half of that in a Razorback football uniform, that's what's scary. Well, how high do you think What number do you think he'll can't say no to?
He's already said he's coming out. He's coming.
But he said unless they give him a significant.
It would have to be probably first or second round.
And I don't think he'll go there.
No, but, absolutely not.
But I'm excited to see him in a Hall uniform, both in football and baseball. My dog from that I've been talking about all year, John Stephen Jones, from the Dallas area. Well, guess what? Not a lot of people probably know this. You know who his backup quarterback was.
Yeah.
Chandler Morris happens to be
our coach's son.
Yeah, so you think John Stephen Jones hadn't had insight on what this offense is like? Like, unlike Connor and some of the other quarterbacks, he probably has seen this playbook before.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, if you looked at how Highland Park played, that's pretty much how Chad Morris runs his offense.
Yeah, so this is going to be perfect. That's why I think they haven't got our starting quarterback on campus yet.
Nope, I think our starting quarterback comes next year. Or in this year's I should You're say this about, year's class.
Jefferson?
KJ Jefferson.
But I think Connor and Stephen Jones are
It'll be a competition. There's no doubt about it. It won't just be gift wrapped to him. But
I'm talking about this year, who's set up to run the offense out of the four.
Honestly, I think that I'm not. This is no knock.
You're probably about to say my answer. Go ahead.
This is not any knock on Cole, and it's not any knock on John Stephen, but I just think it's going to be Ty Story.
That's what I was about to say.
I really think it's going to be because, I'm not lying to you. I really thought that Cole Kelly would get that job by default, considering he had that starting
experience.
Yeah, he had the starting experience last year and everything. But he just doesn't fit what Chad Morris does. He's not fast enough to do that. Like, he's not mobile enough. Now, do I think he could be factored in at the goal line? Sure, absolutely. I think we could run a Chris Leak, Tim Tebow type style with him at quarterback. I think if you're in your inside the 5 to 10 yard line, then you could put Cole Kelly in the game as a bruiser at quarterback to just get short yardage and stuff like they used to do with Tebow at Florida.
Oh, yeah, it's just so big that a lot of the stuff you want to do with this running stop is kind of hard. But how big he is and how athletic he is, stick him at tight end.
Maybe. That could work, maybe. I mean, it's been done before.
I'm not saying every down. I'm talking about
this is the only reason why
situation.
This is the reason why I'm glad we have a lot of quarterbacks on campus, because I love the competition.
Oh, it'll bring out the best in everybody.
Because there's going to be no more of this, well, you're crowned the starter, go have it. Like, they're not going to do that. Like, the second week of practice, there's like, well, you're the starter. Like, that's how the reason why our quarterbacks have been so bad. Nobody's been pushed.
And they were on their backs 90% of the time.
Well, that didn't help. But I'm saying, as far as a competition standpoint, they weren't challenged. They were handed the job, and they knew they had the job, and they weren't going to lose it unless they got hurt.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree. I think competition is nothing but good for you.
Now, if we're talking about players that are coming in from this past recruiting class that are going to be on campus this year, like you were saying Michael Woods, and you said Connor Nolan and, John Stephen Jones. But, man, the guy that I am most looking forward to seeing is Rakeem Boyd from that community college that we got, that running back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And if for no other reason am I glad to see him at Arkansas, is because we got him away from A&M. Because he left A&M, went to community college, and now he's back in the SEC. Who
absolutely.
Do you think his number one target's going to be?
Oh, absolutely A&M.
And who is the one team that we care not for the life of us find a way to beat lately?
No, since they started
Alabama.
Only time we beat them is the first year of that rivalry in Dallas.
Yep.
And that was when we had Ron Mallett as our quarterback.
It almost seems unfair that they've been able to beat us for so long. But I have all the faith in Chad Morris, man. Now, if we're being realistic about where this team's going to be this year, it's going to be between 5 to 7 wins tops.
Yeah, I'm just being real. Y'all can get at us and get mad that we're like, oh, y'all are being haters. No, we're not being haters. We're being realists.
Now,
Am I going to be rooting for it with everything in my heart for this team? Absolutely.
Every single down, I will be rooting for this team to win. Don't question my loyalty on this, but I'm just being realistic with you guys. I love this team. I've loved this team since my first breath of life. There is absolutely no chance that this team is going to win win 8 games. Yeah, there's no way.
Now, if they do, I'll be the happiest person on the planet. Don't get me wrong there. I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm a realist.
I don't think that we're going to be as bad as some people think. I don't think we're going to be as great as the more delusional half of our fan base is going to think that we're going to be.
We're
going to be somewhere in the middle. If I had my guess, I'm going to say we're going to go 6-6.
Which, if you can get a bowl game in your first year after a team goes 4-8,
I mean, the talent's there. It was just the offensive line just doesn't work.
Yeah, and hopefully he can get some quality. I mean, he's got some offensive linemen coming in. Speaking of recruiting, there is a big-time recruit in the state of Arkansas, but I don't think he's coming to Arkansas.
Wouldn't be the first time.
No, I think his head's too big for his own self, from what I've kept up with on Twitter. Don't know the kid personally. This is not a shot. Just from what I've read and seen on Twitter, like a lot of these kids are searching for the most followers on Twitter. And he's gotten a lot of feedback from Alabama and LSU, and that's what scares me.
Oh, you're talking about Stacy?
Yep.
The Camden kid.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. I want to say Stacy Andrews, but that's not right.
Stacy Wilkes.
Stacy Wilkins, yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think that's going to be another casualty to the SEC. He's just not there for us yet. We're just not there.
Now,
we're just not ready yet.
Do I think he'd be a great add to Arkansas? Absolutely. He's athletic. He can play all five positions maybe not center, but I think he's athletic enough. He could play tackle or guard. I think he's more of a tackle from what I remember.
Yeah.
But he can run. He can move. And that's what you need as a tackle in this kind of offense because it's fast paced.
It's kind of the same reason we need these little quick, speedy, smaller receivers for this offense.
I mean,
sure, you need some bigger, big-bodied receivers that can get you catches in the red zone and, you know, make you plays downfield sometimes. But for the most part, for this quick-paced, no-huddle, hurry-up offense, you're going to need these little skitter-scatter guys that's going to just run these little quick routes and make yak yards.
Yeah, that's where people like Cole Beasley's from. I mean, I'm using professional.
Trey Quinn, just at SMU where he came from.
Yeah, I was just using a professional.
I mean, you just look at how even the NFL games translated. I mean, most of your good receivers are the smaller guys now. It's not the big Calvin Johnson type guys that are humongous freaking nature monsters at receiver.
But Mike Woods isn't who he got. Who was an SMU commit? Am I incorrect?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was, and he's not a small, but he's quick. He's fast, and that's what you need, especially on the outside.
Yep.
Is you need somebody who's going to be quick, crisp route running, a big target. Because, yeah, you need somebody fast, but also on a lot of those slants, you need a bigger, faster target for your quarterback to hit. Because when you come up and look, it's a fast decision. You don't want to have to try and fit into a tight window because a lot of your receivers, the quick guys, they're going to run the outer routes because you don't want them going against those linebackers.
I mean, you look at the end of the NFL, outside of the guys like Julio and A.J. Green, your better receivers in the league are guys like Antonio Brown, small guy, OBJ, smaller guy.
But they're fast.
Emmanuel Sanders, smaller guy.
But with all those guys, you're talking about world-class speed.
Well, not all of them are super, super fast, but they're quick.
But the top two you named are.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you got to have the smaller guys on the outside, but you need speed. That's the biggest thing. Yeah, absolutely. Your inside guys can just be quick, but your outside guys have to have that top speed.
That's one thing that I've noticed missing from Arkansas football teams for the last several years for why we've fallen off so hard. We just didn't have the team speed.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, even Chad Morris said it. He was like, if you don't have speed, you're chasing it, and that's not what you want to do in the SEC.
Right. Well, thank you, guys. This has been a wrap for this week. We'll catch you next Monday. Remember, 12-Ounce Sports Radio, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Central.
Peace out, y'all. Have a good day. Check us out on iTunes.
Woo pig.